Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey gang, we'll jump into the show here in just a second, but first, if you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts and so on, you're only hearing the first hour. There's an additional 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll, and it's all happening on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Postmortem Show at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show or simply BobSeskaShow.com. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it'll only cost you $5 per month, and you'll be supporting this fully independent podcast. Don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Oh, yes. I hate this. It is revolting.
More?
Please.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to talk about that in just a second. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, July 29, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 191 of the Biden-Harris administration, 467 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Oh, and let's bring him in. T-Rex is here. Yeah. Oh, my God. It is David T-Rex Ferguson. Jody's not here today. We're going to get to that in a second, too.
Yeah, we've gone from 3 goth ninjas to 1.
1. That's right. The single one goth sap. Ninja. Yeah. He's, of course, from the music project Astral Summer. Astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Also, patreon.com/theTRexReport. Yeah. So, Jody Hamilton has some work happening at her house today. I still want to believe that it's another sequel to, what was it, Super Squirters Part 9?
Squirters 2? Or
happening in her backyard.
There were so many unanswered questions from Super Squirters 1 and 2.
That's exactly. Lots of open-ended storylines that we need to have closure
so
on.
So to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Jody is having some work done on her house today, and there would have been all kinds of people coming in and out, if you know what I mean. Plus, as you heard at the top of the show, we have a new open on the show. Let me explain as briefly as I can why we have a new open on the show. The first reason is because I wanted to have a new open on the show for years now. It's just that the side of me that fears change has said, no, don't change anything. What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't go messing around. Stop tweaking. Stop the hammering, please.
Stop the hammering.
No. So why not just do it now? Why not pull the trigger now? Streamline the open. Get rid of that big chunk of audio right at the top of the show. Which I love to do. Make no mistake, I love that. It's a great way to open. It's like a warm-up act for the rest of the show. And sometimes it pertains to the topicality of what we're going to be discussing. So I kind of like that, but it takes a long time to get into the meat of the show. It always has. So we're eliminating all of that, except on the after party. The after party open is going to be exactly the same as it always has been. So I get to do the fun little comedy bits at the top of the show on the after party. But on the free show, I figure on the Tuesday, Thursday shows, let's just do something that's fun and kind of has that radio flavor, the old timey broadcast flavor, you know, the 80s and 70s and so on with the jingles. And because I love that shit and it's been part of the show since the very beginning. So I'm going to keep doing all of that. But now let's just get into the meat of it a lot more rapidly. So I hope everyone likes it. I hope you're not all going, ah, fuck this. We're out. And then now you're changing everything, Bob. What are you doing? So, again,
so
I hope
you...
So now
that we spent 20 minutes explaining that we're going to get to the meat of the show quicker...
Yeah, well, I mean, some things, you know, you just have to do. You can't avoid. And so I needed to call attention to the elephant in the room and say, yeah, this is what we're doing and this is why. So, David, ever since Tuesday, I've been wanting to get your take on the opening testimony in the 1-6 Select Committee proceedings and... the investigation into the insurrection. By way of a launching point here, CNN's Manu Raju reported yesterday that Chairman Benny Thompson has told CNN that the Select Committee will soon issue subpoenas, but he declined to say who would be targeted. He said the panel won't resort to writing letters for voluntary information. Good. And will instead go straight to the subpoenas. So I hope that this is the tact. I hope that this is exactly what happens, because they've got to be swift and they have to be unflinching with these subpoenas. Otherwise, it's just going to be Kevin McCarthy and Donald Trump and all the rest of them playing politics with it and dragging it out, running out the clock as they did with the impeachment investigations and all the previous hearings that we saw during the Trump administration. Mm. You know, all the bullshit fun and games that they end up playing with this stuff. And instead, you know, I like the approach of just... fuck you, take this and suck on it. And that's what they're doing. Yeah. That's what they're doing with the subpoenas. So what did you think of the opening day there and all the testimony from the Capitol Police officers?
Well, it was heartbreaking. I mean, it's what I don't understand is how you can see people telling their truth who've been traumatized, who've been abused.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your Laura Ingrams and Charlie Kirks of the world, like, you know, Laura Ingram's like, I'm going to give awards for the best performance. I mean, just like.
God, so disrespectful.
Like,
yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your fucking actual damage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. I don't understand it. I don't understand, like, where the off ramp to normal human compassion is.
That's right.
Like, that you can't.
You think at some point, David, we got to leave politics at the water's edge and act as a country. And that's, you know, I've been talking about that on a couple of occasions. I talked about that with John Fugelsang last night, with Cliff Schechter yesterday afternoon. You wonder, is there ever going to be a crisis in this country where everyone just goes, yeah, this was awful, and we should be against this. You know, and you thought that at the very least, after the insurrection, that the politics would be played in this context, the following context, that it was going to be the Republicans versus the Democrats in terms of who could be more harsh against the insurrectionists. Like, oh, yeah, the Republicans, the Democrats are weak on the insurrectionists. And the Democrats say, well, the Republicans are weak on the insurrectionists. Well, we are saying that because the Republicans actually are weak on the insurrectionists. But you'd think that that would be the terms of the political fight, not, yes, this happened and the Republicans enabled it. Donald Trump enabled it, ordered it to happen. And here's what the comeuppance should be, with the Republicans going, well, this didn't happen. A bunch of tourists. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't, you know, never in a million years you think that that was going to happen after the fact that this group of thugs invaded and occupied Congress. I mean, this is beyond anything we've ever seen. I mean, we've had civil wars in this country. Never happened. There was no invasion of the Capitol during the Civil War. We had a British invasion of this country during the War of 1812. They never occupied the Capitol, but they burned down the White House. I mean, that was its own thing. But they never invaded and occupied the Capitol building. And from the very beginning of the framing of the Constitution, the Capitol building was always considered to be the seat of the federal government, the seat of the government. I mean, this was the government. The Congress was the most important of the three branches of government, and we have to protect this. And as I said the other day, that's why Article 1 in the Constitution, not Article 2, Article 1 in the Constitution is all about the Congress, because the framers believed that that was the most important of the three branches. And for a variety of reasons, the main one being it's the most representative of the country, right? Mm-hmm. So,
gerrymandering aside.
Yeah, exactly. By the way,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Stephanie Miller today had Eric Holder on her show. It was a huge get, huge exclusive. Yeah. And they were talking about gerrymandering. So if you haven't heard today's Stephanie Miller show, find it wherever you can find it and go listen, because it was a Eric Holder is a funny, funny guy on top of being super duper smart. He was a great attorney general. And he and Barack Obama, of course, are fighting gerrymandering right now. Mm-hmm. So, it was an amazing conversation this morning on the Stephanie Miller Show. I just want to throw that in there.
Well, I was just going to say, in all of this, keep your eyes on Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Because, as much as the Republicans try to minimize and lie and rewrite history, like, this is a personal thing that happened to her and, I think, more importantly, to her staff.
Yeah.
And these are the people that she's been working with for years. That building is her home away from home. And it was violated in a disgusting and down and treasonous way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not playing games with this. And that's why I was, not surprised at all. I was pleased when she said, no clowns on this committee. Sorry, Jim Jordan.
That's right. Yep.
And the Beltway guys were all just like, and it's mm-hmm. like, no. She's basically the bus driver from South Park, right? She just sit down and shut up. Because really, like, this was a real thing. It was not a political phantasm.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, like the voter fraud, quote unquote, that happened in the 20s. It's not one of their unicorns. It is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people's lives were endangered. And she is not going to let this go.
Well, somehow Nancy Pelosi is suddenly the commander-in-chief, and she was responsible for the D.C. National Guard, which none of that is true. It calls to mind the thing that I've observed on many occasions, which is that the Republicans are screwing their own people before any of the rest of us. I mean, we hear a lot about owning the libs, but the first victim of Republican fuckery are other Republicans. They're the ones, they're the suckers that are being taken advantage of because of their naivete. This is one of many examples, which is that, Nancy Pelosi, yes, she had purview over the National Guard, D.C. National Guard. There's no law or rule or standard that says the Speaker of the House is somehow in charge of deploying the D.C. National Guard. That has never, ever been a thing. In fact, the president is somewhat handcuffed when it comes to deploying the D.C. National Guard. Usually, the president defers a decision like that to the Pentagon, and then the Pentagon makes that decision. But now the Republicans are telling their own people, it was Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, she screwed up. This is all on her. It's immensely frustrating. And at the same time, here's one of the big news items of yesterday that got, I think, very little play, and it should have had more play, which is the fact that the House Republicans, or at least 99.5% of the House Republicans, voted against funding the Capitol Police. 205 out of the 206 House Republicans voted against funding the Capitol Police. The Republicans voted the first time ever in Congress to defund the police. That just happened. The Republicans just did that. The Trump Republicans, the Red Hat Republicans, just voted yesterday to defund the Capitol Police. I cannot emphasize that enough. The House passed a 4.8.
But law and order.
Yeah.
Bob.
That's right. Why
What about Antifa?
God. All those flags with the blue line running down the middle of it. My God. It's like everything else they do. It's completely performative. The patriotism that you see on the Republican side, totally performative. They believe that patriotism is yelling at black people when they kneel for the national anthem. That's Republican patriotism. Standing up for the integrity of the Article I powers, that's real patriotism. Those Capitol police officers who stood up and testified the other day at the risk of being relentlessly pilloried and hectored by the Red Hat Entertainment Complex, those guys are American patriots. Liz Cheney.
Totally.
Liz, we disagree with Liz Cheney on everything. We always have to preface that for some reason. I always got to say it should be given. Yes, we all disagree with Liz Cheney on policy. But Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, patriots. They understand the stakes of this thing, and they know when politics needs to be left at the water's edge, right? $4.8 billion legislative branch spending bill for 2022, funding House operations and U.S. Capitol Police on nearly a party line vote. That's how it passed. It's the first of 12 appropriations bills the House has approved this year, and the Republicans voted against it. So utterly craven, isn't it? I mean,
they're
beyond
just the worst people in the world. And yeah. It's like we have a, you know, we have a party that believes in democracy and voting and civic responsibility. And we have basically neo-Nazis that are like, we want minority control of this country. And we are going to do everything we can to disenfranchise people who don't look like us and don't have our level of income and don't.
It's basically they got rabbit season, duck season into defunding the police. Once again, it's like somehow the Democrats were able to do some kind of political jujitsu and managed to get the Republicans to defund the police. Again, the first federal vote in which the police, a police force has been defunded, and it's the Republicans voting to defund the police. Just, it's utter, I keep going over this, but it's utterly mind-blowing, right? Along these lines, we got to talk about the successful vote yesterday on the infrastructure bill, something that I thought was going to be a long shot. I think we all talked about it here, about how bizarre that deal was, where there's going to be, I guess the framework was, and again, this was, by the way, supported by Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin and all the rest. We're going to get to Kyrsten Sinema here in just a second.
Do we have to?
Unfortunately, unfortunately, because she's being her flamboyant spoiler self again.
Somewhere a Forever 21 is missing its district manager.
That's right. Yep. And by the way, if you haven't heard yesterday's interview show with Cliff Schechter, Cliff had some choice words for Kyrsten Sinema as well. So you got to listen to yesterday. So much fun on yesterday's show. I'm sorry if you missed it. I'm sorry. Now, just go back and listen. You can listen to it anytime you want. You know, okay. I'm arguing with our fake studio audience now. That's
what a bunch of smucks. Yeah.
So this infrastructure bill was passed, and I thought it was a long shot, but they managed to do it. I think they got 67 votes to overcome the filibuster. It's not passed yet, and it's got to go through this amendment process. But it's $1 trillion. I think it's more than $1 trillion in infrastructure. This is a huge victory. It's a bipartisan one, and then they're going to do a completely partisan, Democrats only, second infrastructure bill that they're going to pass through reconciliation. Except for the fact that Kyrsten Sinema is being a dink again. I don't understand. Where is she getting this? Where is she getting the support to be able to say this kind of crap? That's the I think that's the question of the hour, because I don't know a single Democrat who likes Kyrsten Sinema. Find me the Democrat who's like, yeah, she's doing a great job. I don't know what your complaints are about, but she's doing a fine job. She is not doing a fine job. She said yesterday that she will not support the Democrats' $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill. This is not the one that was successfully voted on yesterday. This is the second one. This would be the reconciliation bill that the Democrats were hoping to pass. And now she's saying that she won't support it because it's $3.5 trillion. She stood there outside the White House with Joe Biden, knowing that this second piece of legislation would be $3.5 trillion.
We've done this for months.
Yeah. So she stood out there, got all the attention and all the accolades. Look at Kyrsten Sinema. She's playing with the big boys now. It's Adult Swim, and there's Kyrsten Sinema supporting this crazy infrastructure deal where there's, Mitt Romney's there too. And look, Joe Manchin and Joe Biden and all the rest and Chuck Schumer. But she now she's backing away from it for some reason. I don't understand. There has got to be. And I know we all have our speculation. But what I'm looking for is hard journalism in terms of who's getting to her, where she thinks she's going to get any kind of support whatsoever when she's up for re-election. I guess, what is she up for re-election again? I want to say 24, maybe? I think it's 24. But regardless, I don't know where she's going to get the support in the primary, much less the general election at this point. Maybe from Republicans. I don't know what the demographics necessarily are in Arizona these days. They seem to be shifting quite rapidly. But I can't imagine Democrats going, oh, yeah, Kirsten Sinema got to vote.
Like, great job. Got to put her back in office. Yeah.
Yeah, nice job. Like, polite round of applause for Kirsten Sinema. No, no. She told the Arizona Republic on Wednesday that she had reviewed the Senate Budget Committee's spending framework and has told Senate leadership and Biden that she supports many of its goals, including job growth and American competitiveness, but she doesn't like the price tag. So this is going to be, once again, we're all going to be running around like the guy at the end of the parade who has to scoop up the elephant shit, right? We got to all run around and like scoop up after Kirsten Sinema as she goes running around trying to screw up this deal. Again, being this insufferable, insufferable spoiler, the spoiler of all spoilers. Even Joe Manchin isn't going there. And Joe Manchin is like the poster boy for being a spoiler. So I don't understand. Someone's going to have to do some serious digging into where she's getting her money, who's influencing her, and where she thinks she's going to be getting the votes when she's up for re-election again. My hunch is that Kirsten Sinema, and I've been wrong about this shit before, so take this with a grain of salt. My hunch, David, is that she's going to be a one-termer.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a fierce primary challenge.
At this point, yeah. I mean, yeah. She's basically like a sinus headache in human form. Like, just
yeah. Yeah, one of those migraine headaches that you get that little swirly thing in your vision. Yeah, the swirly thing in your vision, that's one of Kirsten Sinema's outfits.
Yeah. Like
different colors and weird combinations.
Clown.
And, yeah, strange clown. Shapes.
You see the silver thing that was like so freaking tight, you could see the outline, the waistband of her Spanx. I mean, I'm just like, man.
I didn't see that, but yeah.
You are, she looked like a baked potato.
Yeah, see, I thought Marjorie Taylor Greene's feet looked like baked potatoes.
Oh, please.
I got, you know, we talked about, Kimberly and I talked about that on the after party last Friday, because Kimberly was, for a couple of days, obsessed with Marjorie Three Names and her weird Fred Flintstone feet. And so we were talking about that. I was like, I don't care about her feet, but I guess it's a thing because she's got weird feet. But the point that I'm getting at here is that I got mail. I got mail after that. People going, oh, my God, Bob. I was so nauseous when you were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene's feet. I had to turn off the show. And thank God we don't have video or photography as part of the show. It was just our descriptions of her feet. Oh, shit.
I really want to see a DNA test to find out if she's part potato.
Who, Marjorie Taylor Greene? Or,
yeah, I mean, she really, Marjorie Taylor Greene just really does look like she's like assembled from potato parts.
Yeah, her head is kind of shaped like a potato, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Now I'm embarrassed that we went there. I'm embarrassed that we went to those lengths. I'm sorry. If you're nauseous from today's show, I really, really apologize.
Did you see their sad little press conference on Monday?
Oh, yeah.
The protesters.
Oh, my God.
That woman who just kept asking Matt Gaetz again and again, are you a pedophile? Are you a pedophile? Are you a pedophile? She's my hero. I'm like, she's your fighter. That girl.
That's exactly what needs to happen. When you're being trolled, troll them right back. That's the only response. You're never going to talk policy with Matt Gaetz or Marjorie Taylor Greene. Certainly not Louie Gohmert. The whistles.
Louie Gohmert could lose an argument with a puffball mushroom.
Speaking of a guy who looks like a potato. His head looks like a potato. What is it? Maybe the Rodeo Clown Caucus. Maybe they've got like a thing. Maybe membership involves.
They were really exercised about Mr. Potato Head. You know, I think it may because, like, you know, it's a family thing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's my uncle aunt you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the whole thing disintegrated into just nothing where They had to go run off. They had to run away. In fact,
brave Sir Donald ran away.
The Rodeo Clown Caucus ran away. They ran away.
Ran away, away he did. Brave, brave Sir Donald.
Gohmert.
When reporters asked about what he said, he bravely turned his tail and fled, and he hid right there behind his desk, and he chickened out.
Yeah, they ran right away. It was so perfect. They had the signs. There was one picture where it was perfectly framed. Matt Gaetz was standing right in front of a big sign that said rapist.
Nice.
And then I got to give extra props to whoever decided, hey, you know, whistles would be a great thing. Let's bring rape whistles to the press conference and just start blowing the rape whistles while they're talking. I don't see any other way to handle these guys other than to do that kind of shit, to just disrupt their trolling. I mean, that's the absolute best strategy to have for that.
It's so punk rock.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And they weren't even able to get anything out. They weren't able to say a goddamn thing before the protesters forced them to go tearing away, racing back to their cars and their buildings. Job well done to the protesters who turned up. And also, I got to say a special recognition for the guy who holds the traitor signs outside the various courthouses. That guy's back. I noticed that guy standing outside the courthouse when Tom Barrack went in to figure out if he could get out on bail. And in fact, I think what was his release? The price tag of his bail was $250 million.
Jesus.
Man, and you know what? I think he's worth a total of about $1 billion. So he had to put up 1/4 of his total net worth in order to get out of being in jail awaiting trial. So sad for Tom Barrack.
Sad.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, we've got some more news later on about the inauguration investigation. That whole thing is moving forward. So I just wanted to mention that. Let's see what else here. Oh, yeah. You know what? Trump tried to sabotage that infrastructure deal. Remember, because throughout his his ridiculous term as president, his one term, because he is a one-term loser, he did all those infrastructure weeks. We all remember the infrastructure weeks where it was just like, we're doing infrastructure. And they turned out to be like 3 minutes long. Just enough for them to say infrastructure week, and then it disintegrated into something else, whatever Donald Trump.
And then
Trump.
We find out that Steve Bannon's been having sex with horses in the West Wing. You know, like, I mean.
Yeah. It would quickly get sidelined because of whatever nonsense was coming out of Trump's mouth or Steve Bannon's mouth or Stephen Miller's mouth or whatever. And so we never quite got any kind of infrastructure deal. But the Biden administration, if you watched Lawrence O'Donnell last night, he did a complete profile in terms of how this deal was done, how many meetings. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, over 1,000 meetings had taken place between the Legislative Affairs Department of the White House and lawmakers on Capitol Hill to work out the deal for these infrastructure packages, these dueling, well, they're not dueling, but they're adjoining infrastructure packages, right? Well, in the process, Trump can't have that. Trump can't have anyone else being successful because either he has to kill the success somehow, sabotage it, or he has to steal the success and attribute the success to himself, right? Mm-hmm. He has to take credit for someone else's success because that's all he does. The Trumps steal. The Trumps are thieves. They steal everything. Melania Trump stole not one, but two Michelle Obama speeches. I can't believe
I don't understand the right winger's attraction to plagiarism.
Yeah.
In the modern age, it will not fly. Yeah. People will do word searches on you and they just like, you know, Benny Johnson, Melania. I mean, it's just like,
yep. Yeah, everything that Donald Trump claims is his own has been stolen from someone else. In fact, the entire business model, we've talked about this so many times, but the entire business model of the Trump Organization is to attach the Trump name to something that someone else built, right?
It's a constant pump and dump scheme, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Trump talking about birtherism, that was stolen from Orly Tates and the other weirdos who started it in the first place. People
had bad experience with Kitty Pilgrim. Oh, Orly, where are you now?
Yeah, I mean, he's, remember he would steal credit for the Veterans Affairs Choice legislation, the VA Choice mm-hmm. bill, which he said that he did, but it was actually passed under Barack Obama. It's theft. It's flagrant theft. So in the case of the infrastructure bill, which is my favorite Encyclopedia Brown story, the case of the infrastructure bill. Trump,
the case of the missing infrastructure week.
Yeah, exactly. Those close to the former president say he remains miffed that the Senate Republicans didn't move a bill when he was in office. Though he has increasingly sought to undermine negotiations, Trump's efforts to derail any infrastructure package have so far mostly been met with a shrug on Capitol Hill. But he's been trying. This is an interesting statement on the kind of influence that Trump has. This is something that was happening under the radar. This was not something mm-hmm. that they were talking about a lot on Fox News Channel or on AM Talk Radio or Breitbart or wherever. So this was something that the Republicans should just go, all right, we're going to ignore him on this because it's not a political football. Being tossed around in the usual Red Hat Entertainment Complex circles. If it had been, then the Republicans would have gotten in line behind Trump. Thank God that it didn't. But that's, I think, a statement to the benefit of the Biden White House. The way
and maybe Republicans are finally starting to do the math.
Yeah.
And, you know, throwing their lot in permanently with a guy who never cracked 47% approval is, you know, not really a winning move.
Well, they're also learning, too, that Trump's influence with regard to vaccines and masks is killing Republican voters.
Yes.
And I think the Republicans are beginning to realize that, and they're slowly starting to back away. And that's what we thought. I'm stopping myself on the slowly starting to back away thing, because yesterday and parts of today were complete disasters when it came to masking rules and so on, where Kevin McCarthy is freaking out. Republicans are freaking out on the floor of the House and just talking about the tyranny of having to wear masks and, again, deceiving their own people in terms of why sometimes you have to wear a mask even though you're vaccinated. The whole point of the Republican strategy, regardless of whether it's COVID or some other issue, guns or the economy or infrastructure, the whole point of what they try to do is confuse their own people, because confusion breeds anger, and then anger is directed toward the Democrats. They just take that anger and funnel it into the laps of the Democrats. It's all their fault. It's not us. We're not the ones confusing you. It's them. It's them and academia and the scientists. And they all want to screw you over, and AOC and Black Lives Matter. Don't you see how they're screwing you and making you confused? Yeah. So,
but it's amazing to me that they're like, it's like they can come up on the wrong side of any issue.
Yeah.
It just any issue, science, gender. Like, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's like a Rubik's Cube that, like, you know, it's just they like immediately just like come right up on the wrong 180 degree position on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they don't have to be right. They just have to scramble the playing field, right? They just have to take the board game and shake it up or throw it across the room or whatever. So everyone goes, fuck, and we're pissed off now, and we're going to blame those other people too, because it's all their fault. If it hadn't been for them, and that's the whole idea. The whole idea is, you know, if everyone's wrong about this or that, then no one's wrong, right? That's the whole game that they're playing. And so it's not about the Republicans coming up with some sort of winning argument. The Republican mission is to just confuse people and frustrate people, because once they're frustrated, they get pissed off. Okay, so moving along here, we got lots more to talk about. Joe Biden's winning the war on poverty. I want to talk about that in just a second. Plus, I wanted to mention a couple of things from Donald Trump's remarks at the Turning Point Foundation. I think that's what it was called. He did a rally over the weekend, and there were just a couple of things I observed from that. Because, yes, I watched it, and I wish I hadn't. I don't know why.
It's like eating a bad oyster, you know? It's like once it's in there,
That's right. But it's like, you know, the regret that you have after you've had too much to drink and you're laying there and the room's spinning and you feel a little nauseous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's that feeling. The room is spinning and I'm feeling a little nauseous after watching Trump's remarks the other day. But first, if you ever catch yourself thinking when looking in the mirror, I wish my under eye bags would just go away, you're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women until now. Introducing the new GenuCell Serum with plant stem cell technology from the folks at Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote, quote, I've been using GenuCell for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone, vanished. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared, and they haven't come back. I love this product, end quote. With its instant effects, Chamonix says you'll see results in the first 12 hours, just 12 hours, or your money back. They guarantee it. Order now and get 50% off all GenuCell packages for summer. Go to lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. Link in the description at bobsesca.com. lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. Thank you. The Bob Seska Show.
Cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye bright as a rose.
Mm. Yeah. This is a consummate singer.
Yes. This is Maria Zimet. And her cover of Something's Coming. I think this is from what? West Side Story? Is that it?
I'm a very disappointing gay when it comes to show tunes. I don't know.
Damn it. You're no good. You're no use. You're no use to me. Yeah, no, I think it is from West Side Story, yeah. This is on her album, On the Road to Love, is the name of the record. MariaZimet.com, link in the descriptions. That's M-A-R-Y-A, M-A-R-Y-A, Zimet, Z-I-M-M-E-T.com.
It's going to be great.
God, she's so silky.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, the phrasing is just,
Yeah, the whole album is like this. The whole album is just perfect. Let's see. She also does a cover of If I Only Had a Brain is on here. Let's see. Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. There's a cover of that on here. Anyone Can Whistle. Oh, my God. Maybe I'm Amazed. Just a great album.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. BobSeska.com/music. Submit your songs to the show. Thank you in advance for doing that. Really appreciate it. Indie Music Countdown coming up this weekend at some point. Haven't decided whether it's going to be Sunday or Monday. Suffice to say, it'll be somewhere around this weekend. It's the end of the month. Time for another one of those things. Okay. David, this is some great news. I actually have some good news today.
Hit me.
I need it. I fucking need this good news. Joe Biden is totally winning the war on poverty. The Democratic Party winning the war on poverty. The huge increase in government aid prompted by the coronavirus pandemic will cut poverty nearly in half this year from pre-pandemic levels. And this is not just child poverty. This is poverty all around. A 50% reduction from pre-pandemic levels, and it'll push the share of Americans in poverty to the lowest level on record, according to the most comprehensive analysis yet of a vast but temporary expansion of the safety net. The number of poor Americans is expected to fall by nearly 20 million from 2018 levels, a decline of almost 45%. The country has never cut poverty so much in such a short period of time. And the development is especially notable since it defies economic headwinds. The economy has nearly 7 million fewer jobs than it did before the pandemic. The extraordinary reduction in poverty has also come at an extraordinary cost, with annual spending on major programs projected to rise fourfold to more than $1 trillion. Yet without further expensive new measures, millions of families may find the escape from poverty brief. So some of this legislation, we got to make it permanent, especially this child tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other day, Lauren Boeber tweeted.
Well, if you know, it would all get paid for if Jeff Bezos would just pay his taxes.
Yeah, no shit. Well, you know, Lauren Boeber the other day was like, well, what have the Democrats done so far? They control the White House and they have the House of Representatives and half the Senate. What have they done? Nothing. Nothing, I tell you. Well, you know what they did? They cut child poverty in half. Now they've cut poverty all around in half. But the child poverty was cut in half. You know how? With a goddamn tax cut. They did it with a tax cut. They said, we're going to cut taxes for middle-income people, working people who have kids. And we're going to say, we're not only going to cut your taxes, but we're going to give you an advance on that tax cut. And it's going to be paid out monthly based on the number of kids that you have and the age of those kids. There is nothing that they can say. I mean, talk about stripping the ball away from the Republicans when it comes to tax cuts. This has happened again in as many years, where it happened at the beginning of the Joe Biden administration, as we have seen. And it also happened at the beginning of the Obama administration. I mean, we don't often mention that in the first stimulus legislation that Obama passed, his first piece of legislation out of the chute in 2009, contained at the time the largest middle class tax cut in American history. You know, if you're going to be talking about tax cuts, this is where the tax cuts should go. And somehow the Republicans are against that. Republicans are against tax cuts for working people, middle class workers, families, and so on. You want to talk about the limit on Republican support for tax cuts? The limit is anyone other than...
It's not a millionaire.
Millionaires, exactly. Billionaires. The millionaires are billionaires, as Bernie Sanders likes to say. Yeah, so this is a big fucking deal. And I hope the Democrats are already planning campaign ads to brag about this. Because if the tree falls in the forest and no one's, if the tax cuts fall in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it actually make a sound? Well, it has to make a sound. And so, fingers crossed, this has got to be the centerpiece of some campaign ads in every congressional district, if possible, next year. And you put those right up next to the ads containing the testimony from the Capitol Police the other day as well. Which many of those statements, many of those remarks delivered the other day could be used as just standalone ads. Put the ad in there and just say at the end, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message. There's your campaign ad. What more do you need? Meantime, on the evil side of the ledger, Donald Trump did a rally the other day. And I just want to mention a couple things from it. I don't have any audio. Don't worry. I'm not going to play any audio from it. I think Hal Sparks did a whole breakdown of the rally. So if you want to hear someone talking about it and playing the audio from it, go watch Hal Sparks' show on YouTube. It's a must-watch thing. It's hysterical. It's awesome. Go check it out. But Donald Trump, during this rally, said he hired General Milley because John Kelly and Mad Dog Mattis hated Milley and wanted to send Milley to Europe. So Donald Trump said, so that's my guy. So he's doing the opposite of what his military advisors are recommending, because he's Donald Trump and he's a dick. That's why. And so he was okay with Milley, by the way, when Milley was helping
him
out.
Until Milley spoke out again. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Also, Trump said Democrats want to get rid of all the cows. That lie again.
So they want to get rid of the cows. The cows. Why do they hate the cows?
And then he said, here's the reason I'm bringing this up. Then he said, it's going to be humans next. Donald Trump has just accused the Democrats of wanting to get rid of all humans. So 8.2, or
which is why we're trying to vaccinate everybody and get them to wear masks. We want them all to die. Yeah.
So 82 million Democrats who voted for Joe Biden want to get rid of themselves, apparently. That's the politics here. And the crazy thing isn't Donald Trump saying it, because this is the kind of shit we expect from Donald Trump. The crazy thing is the multitude of people at this rally who are like, yeah.
Yeah!
The goddamn radical left Democrats.
Lock them up! Lock them up!
He also said the vaccine rollout is, quote unquote, very slow. So this is, okay, we're going to sabotage this vaccine rollout, and then when it's shitty, we're going to say it was very slow. We're going to tell all our people not to get vaccinated, not to wear masks, to basically kill themselves, to infect themselves, to let them, you know, get all varieties of side effects in the long run. We're going to let them do that. And then we're going to say, well, look, it's the Democrats' fault. It's they. Why did they do this to us?
I really, like, I was watching a clip of Tucker Carlson. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was like, they are deliberately telling their people to go unvaccinated and maskless so that the economy will crash again and they can blame Biden.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just, the most cynical part of me was just like, this, they are really intentionally going, they're like killing their viewers.
Yeah.
To own the libs.
But I don't understand how that works, because what's going to have to happen, it's going to have to turn out to be a net gain in voters. And a net gain in voters is increasingly difficult as more Republican voters die, because they're going to be losing voters faster than they gain voters because of COVID. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, oh my God. See, I'm concerned about you guys down there in Georgia being so close to what's happening in Florida. Florida is a mess. And as we all know, if one place is a mess, it's very easy for that mess to bleed out into surrounding areas and create new messes in those areas. It is an utter disaster. It's the DeSantis disaster. Mm. And I think that's where we gotta place the blame. We demand medical freedom. Have you noticed the tweets about this, David? Medical freedom, medical privacy. It's a new thing.
Oh,
for
I
the
saw
Republican.
Marjorie Three Names was like, you know, when someone asked her if she was vaccinated, she was like, your question's violation of my HIPAA rights. I'm like, bitch, you can't even spell HIPAA. Like, you don't even know what it means. Like, yeah. I just, oh, God.
Yeah, Madison Cawthorn yesterday tweeted something along those lines. He was talking about medical freedom, medical privacy. And once again, shocked that now suddenly the Red Hat Republicans are pro-choice. And I'm just waiting. It's just a matter of time before one of them goes, hey, you know what? That Fourth Amendment guarantees a right to privacy. And I demand to have my right to privacy. Don't you dare ask me about whether I've been vaccinated and whether I wear a mask, because the Fourth Amendment says I don't have to tell you. I'm just waiting for that, because you know what that'll be? That'll be a full-throated endorsement of something called Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade says the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, number 4 on the Bill of Rights. It's 2 down from that beloved Second Amendment. Number 4 guarantees a right to privacy. Specifically, women have a right to medical privacy and to receive, therefore, this medical procedure. That's the whole point of it. And I'm just waiting for the Republicans to go there. And I know the first Republican who's going to do it. The first Republican who's going to derp his way into this one, Charlie Kirk. Because...
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk derps his way into everything. He's the dumbest man in politics, and I don't say that lightly, because there are a lot of dumb people in politics. Charlie Kirk is the dumbest of the dumb. His Twitter feed is like someone hacked his Twitter feed and is deliberately saying dumb things. He eventually, and it's going to come in with a matter of days, if not weeks, he's going to endorse a Fourth Amendment right to privacy. I swear to fucking God it's going to happen. And if it doesn't, well, I have done my best to make it happen, because yesterday I did a Twitter search on the phrase medical privacy. And I was going through some of the Red Hat Twitter feeds. And when they say, yes, we demand medical privacy, I was responding, yes, I agree. The Fourth Amendment guarantees medical privacy. And then I'd put a bunch of American flags or something like that to make them convinced that I was one of them, you know. And so I'm seeding the ground with this nonsense to see if they derp their way into it. And I swear to God, they probably will. So try it yourself. It's a fun activity.
Before we move on from Charlie Kirk, though, yeah. I have a very specific bone to pick with him.
Okay.
Regarding Simone Biles.
Regarding what? Simone Biles, yes.
Yeah. Like, Charlie Kirk, who has never done anything to a level of excellence in his entire life,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, even taking a decent dump, probably. The man who could lose a dance off
yeah.
to Madison Cawthorn. Like, it just, for him to call Simone Biles a quitter and a coward and a sociopath, it just makes my brain just boil. Because yeah. Simone Biles, like,
is a superhuman athlete.
Mm-hmm.
She does amazing things.
Incredible.
She does things that have never been done before in that sport that they're naming after her.
Yeah.
She came up through the foster care system. She was molested by a white man who was supposed to be her fucking doctor. You know, and she's overcome all of that. And what's happening to her is, she says, there's a syndrome called the twisties. But part of what enables gymnasts to do what they do is their exact mental presence and picture of where their body is in space. And when you lose that orientation and you're moving at that kind of velocity, you can break your neck. You can get, you know, I mean, just, it's not safe.
Yeah.
So I feel like she doesn't owe mediocre white men like Charlie Kirk and Piers fucking Morgan, you sack of rancid oatmeal, just these just pathetic white guys with their
doughy
little shrimp dicks.
Loads. Yeah, yeah.
Like, totally, like, to talk about someone like Simone Biles, who has overcome so much and has persevered through so many things, when she is acting out of her own, you know, out of the interest of her own safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just...
And that's important. I mean, the mental side of athletics like that are crucial to the performance because, as you said, these are dangerous routines they're doing. One false move, one glitch in your concentration, and yeah, you can snap your neck or your back or both in some cases. And so it requires ultimate concentration. It requires ultimate focus and ultimate determination, tenacity beyond what we can possibly imagine as mere mortals. And you know how I kind of relate to this? Back in 2008, in the spring of 2008, and I'll make this as quick as possible. In spring of 2008, I was riding my bike through this town in eastern Pennsylvania, and I came up to this intersection, and these kids in this car sped past me and then suddenly turned right at the intersection, right in front of me. And I smashed into their car and I fractured a vertebrae. And so it took a long time to recover from that notion, from the stress and the trauma of being hit by a car. And I developed this thing in my head, and it's purely psychological. But if I get the sense before I go for a bike ride that I'm not really feeling it, I feel like I'm not really concentrated, I probably should not go then. And so I need to have my head wired the right way to go back out on the road before I do, right? Or...
you got to listen to your body.
Period. Yeah, you got to listen to your body. You got to listen to your instincts as well. And that's the whole point. And this is all to say that if Simone Biles feels as though she cannot perform at her best because of pressure or some psychological element, some mental element, and she decides she needs to pull out and not do this this competition, I completely relate to that. That makes complete sense to me. And these guys who are like, you know, what a terrible woman for pulling out of the Olympic Games like this and blah, blah, blah. She's so weak.
Okay, typewriter, keyboard warrior, like, put down your computer, laptop, and go do all her events.
Right, right.
Like, just let's see how you do. Let's do us a flip, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I just...
Yeah. Mm. I mean, how often every day do ball players go, you know what, I'm kind of injured, I don't feel well today, I'm going to sit this game out, take me out, put in a substitute, and we'll move ahead that way. It happens all the time. But the difference here is, well, first of all, it's the Olympics, and there's a lot of focus on the Olympics right now. But also, Simone Biles is black. And it's Republican sport right now to go after black people in the news.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what they do, because they're racist and they're horrible. And so they're going to demonize this black athlete.
Piers Morgan has got a real problem with black women.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, like, he cannot control himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, your issues, like, go to therapy and, like, get out of our, like, collective consciousness and work on your shit. Because, like, he's got a serious problem with any kind of strong or powerful black woman.
Mm-hmm. And that's just it. It's not only that she's black, it's that she's a woman as well. And the notion is...
Let's not forget that Piers Morgan made his name by spying on people's private phone messages. Like, the way he became a tabloid titan in England was hacking into a dead girl's phone.
Jesus. Utter shamelessness. And we're talking about people who, you know, would get out of breath if they had to walk a city block.
And we see the consequences of athletes that push themselves beyond their points of endurance, like, you know, Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Like, who freaking lost his mind because of concussions. And, it, you know, people are not disposable objects.
Right, right.
Their bodies are not our commodity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, and I feel like that's especially, like, incumbent, you know, when they it ties back to the whole, like, medical thing of, like, doctors not listening to black people when they say they're in pain. And it makes me boil with rage.
Yeah. Again, their guy had to tiptoe down a ramp, a dry ramp that was probably no more than a 10 degree elevation, right? A 10 degree angle. Tiptoe down that ramp.
To hold his hand.
But Simone,
because he's got those stupid heels on. He's wearing those lifts. In his shoes to make.
That's right. But also, he's deathly paranoid of being seen as like Gerald Ford falling. He just doesn't want to be seen as falling. But he's, I mean, it's a cowardly thing to do, first of all. But at the same time, they're like, well, our guy will barely walk down a ramp with anything but baby steps. But Simone Biles refuses to do like this quadruple flip spin in the middle in midair after launching herself off this platform. Oh my God, what a coward. No. I said on Fugelsang last night, this country puts way too much emphasis on the importance of sports. Oh,
I live in a USC town. I mean, you don't have to, I mean, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, oh my God, it's a fucking cult, and people are like, they get like bestial about the shit, you know, ripping down goalposts and dragging them a mile. It's just like,
it's beyond what people believe or how people act with regard to any other kind of entertainment. Sports is much more fanatical, I think. It's amazing to say that, given the fanboy love that happens around things like superhero movies and comic books and sci-fi and shit like that. But it's true. With this kind of thing, with sports, people get crazy. And I'm talking about...
Yeah, we don't, like, burn downtown if a movie tanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And it's to the point where...
And, like, you know, we're coming up on that season again. It's almost August, and, like, here comes the football crowd. And it's like my town gets, like, taken over by this rolling toxic waste event. Yeah. Like, it, you know, there's like feet of garbage literally on campus because they're such fucking pigs.
Yeah. And yeah. Well, the outrage over the changing of the Cleveland Indians name to the Cleveland Guardians, you know, the outrage around that completely. I mean, that should be not even on the list of like the top 1,000 or top million most important things happening in this country, the name of the Cleveland baseball team. And then that was like, it was like a 2-day story. The outrage patrol was all over that for like 2 consecutive days. I can't believe it. Donald Trump was screaming about it the other day. I can't believe they changed this name. What the hell are they doing to our baseball? What the hell is going on, as Donald Trump says? Like, just no, die. And by the way, the Guardians is a much better name because of the Guardians of Transportation, the statues in Cleveland. I didn't know about this. I didn't know this about Cleveland, but they have these statues, the Guardians of Transportation. And so that makes the name fully appropriate. And they're cool, really cool looking Art Deco statues, by the way, too. So this is an appropriate name for Cleveland. I don't know where the Indians came from as a name for the Cleveland baseball team. It's very, very old timey. It goes back a long, long way. Mm-hmm. So changing that name, who the fuck cares? This is not going to make or break your bank account or your lives or your children's college education. None of it's going to matter. It's not going to pollute the atmosphere or raise ocean temperatures or anything like that. It's not a big fucking deal.
But it hurts their feelings, Bob. Yeah,
that's true. That's
true.
It
makes them feel like they're not in control.
Makes them feel bad.
It's like a 3-year-old that wants his milk from a very specific cup. And if you try to give him any other cup, it's going to be hell to pay. And it's like just – but I mean, you know, brain studies have shown that like people who tend to conservatism are like rigid – black and white thinkers that are fearful of everything.
That's right. That's right. Well, right now, those black and white thinkers are holding us all hostage. We're going to talk about COVID here in just 1 second. Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out. Unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Brand new single here from Freak Bass. We're doing Freak Bass bookends this month. Start of the month with Freak Bass single, ending the month with a Freak Bass single. This is called Take Me Out, and this features Karina Reichman, also on bass. FreakBass.com, support my friend Freak. Yeah, you know what? Next month, August, we're going to do another Rewind Month. So we're going to replay some songs we've already played because I feel like we need to replay some of these songs. It's really, really good. I don't want to dispose of them so quickly. So I'm not sure which August we're going to rewind to. We have a limited number of Augusts, but that's what we're going to do for next month. So it's some familiar songs here on the show. Okay, moving along now. First of all, a study has concluded that COVID is linked to a substantial deficit in intelligence, getting COVID. This is not to make fun of anybody, but just say a large study finds that COVID-19 is linked to a substantial drop in intelligence. They're just throwing that in
really?
There as another possible side effect. Yeah, this is from SciPost. Yeah, so another thing to concern about. It's a large study. People who have recovered from COVID-19 tend to score significantly lower on an intelligence test compared to those who have not contracted the virus, according to new research published by The Lancet. The findings suggest that the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19 can produce substantial reductions in cognitive ability, especially among those with more severe illness. So we've heard this discussed before. I think Buzz Burbank reported on this in his very last newscast, that there were cognitive issues in the long run for people who have contracted COVID. And this is the first time I've seen it defined as being a reduction in intelligence. So just another thing to add to the list. And there's no guarantee, by the way, that if you get COVID and you have just mild symptoms, that you're going to avoid long-term side effects. There's no evidence of that, by the way. I just want to throw that in there. And the thing that I am most concerned about for me is, of course, the number one thing is getting COVID and then passing it along to the people I love. That's the scariest thing, as far as I'm concerned. Second scariest thing, getting COVID, maybe having mild symptoms, but having long-term side effects because of the virus. That's second on my list. But now, some of these red hats, shirkers, and so on, are telling people to just get COVID. Just get it. Yeah, get it. And so then, therefore, you'll be immune. The easiest way to avoid getting COVID is to get COVID, apparently. This guy, Alex Berenson, he is a popular red hat influencer. He's a former New York Times reporter turned anti-vaccine proponent. He is tweeting about this. You know what immunizes you against SARS-CoV-2? Quickly, efficiently, and with low risk to healthy, non-elderly people? Getting SARS-CoV-2. And then he got
fucking idiot.
Then he got tagged with this from Twitter. This tweet may be misleading. Get the latest on preventative measures in COVID. May be misleading. It's absolutely misleading. Get what do you have to lose?
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a talk show host from Nashville who's like their Rush Limbaugh, a guy named Phil Valentine, who's been put on a ventilator now. He got COVID on July 11th. He's still in the hospital. He's, you know, 61, otherwise healthy.
Right.
And, you know, but again, it's going to be one of those things where conservatives don't believe it until it actually happens to them.
I was on Fugelsang's show, as I normally am on Wednesday night, and the caller right before my segment was this guy named Floyd. And he was saying, I'm not going to get vaccinated. And you know what? I'm not going to get COVID, and I'm not going to give it to anybody either. Just like defiantly saying, it's not going to happen to me. It's totally not going to happen. You know, it's just...
It's like, are you magic?
Yeah. Well, that's like, I mean, the dumbness of that. I mean, how many people have contracted STIs, or as we used to call them, STDs? Because they go, well, yeah, she looks healthy. Or he looks healthy. You can't go by that. That's not the... No. You're in for trouble if you go down that road. Meanwhile, here's a... we have a new feature here on the show. It's Marco Rubio's Derp of the Day. Yep. Marco Rubio has derped into another one today. He tweeted about an hour ago. He said, our Secretary of Defense is vaccinated, but he arrives in the Philippines. This is Secretary of Defense Austin. He arrives in the Philippines wearing a mask and a face shield. Embarrassing COVID theater, he says. And then Marco Rubio includes a video of Secretary Austin getting off the plane. And he's a tall man. He's a very, very tall man.
He's huge. Yeah.
And he's wearing a mask. He's wearing a black mask and he's wearing a face shield. You know why? And this, God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm reading Bill Kristol tweets favorably. And Bill Kristol says, the Philippine government requires a mask and shield in public places. SecDef is being courteous and respectful of his host government. An apology from Marco Rubio to SecDef would be appropriate. Yeah. It's required. Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio is just so constantly out of his depth. And that's not a ding on his height.
Right.
He always is just trying. He would be so much happier in his footy pajamas watching Spider-Man cartoons and eating SpaghettiOs. And they just push him out there in front of the cameras and he's like, and he just derps on all, you know, it's bless his heart.
Yeah. Oh, and also.
Val Demick is going to drink his milkshake.
That's right. I can't wait for that campaign.
Oh,
that's
going to be glorious. It's going to be a bloodbath. He is such a fucking cream puff, and she is so money.
She is sharp as hell. Yeah. Val Demings is going to give Marco Rubio a run for his money, and it's going to be really exciting to watch. I hope she wins.
I hope it makes Piers Morgan cry.
Yeah. Oh, and did you see, we talked about this the other day, but I want to get your reaction to it. You see Donald Trump completely boned George P. Bush? By endorsing Ken Paxton instead of Bush.
No, I didn't.
Please clap.
I love it when they fight.
Well, yeah, but I mean, George P. Bush really was kissing Trump's ass in defiance of his entire family.
I remember, he was groveling. His entire family was getting, you know, regularly trashed. And he's like, Trump, because so I'm in Florida.
Yeah, such a shame. Couldn't happen to a better person. Meanwhile, experts are once again recommending that people who've had COVID should get vaccinated, too. And this went out all over the place. A big alert that went out yesterday afternoon. According to medical experts and health agencies, people should get vaccinated regardless of whether they've been previously infected with COVID-19 because it remains unclear how strong or long-lasting the protection from natural antibodies is. Studies have shown that vaccinations provide a strong boost in protection in people who have recovered from COVID-19, according to the CDC. So get vaccinated, goddammit. It's not about you. It's about your community. It's not about whether you get sick. It's about whether everyone around you also gets sick because of you. It's just common sense. And we really have a serious deficit in common sense in this country. Serious. I mean, to the point where if we continue on this trajectory, now I'm going to get really dark at the end of the show. If we continue on this trajectory, I don't know where this lands, but it's not going to be any place good. I mean, we're going to be putting Brondo in the crops, and I'm not saying that jokingly. It's only a matter of time, and that's why if the
Brondo
Republican Party
got
doesn't
what plants yeah. crave.
Well, the Republican Party's got to get its house in order. Otherwise, man, the idiocracy that we're headed toward right now is almost blinding to consider. To stare into the gaping maw of that idiocracy, man, that'll blow out your retinas. It's really really a scary thing. Yeah, Jim Cramer is predicting 100 million people getting sick in 9 weeks. Yeah. That's Jim Cramer, so he's a, you know, he's one of the white guys in Lower Manhattan, so take it with a grain of salt, but you never know. Okay, that's it. Postmortem Show coming up next. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Please clap.